right now. So this is the very first time we've done something like this, which is an Ask the Expert conference. And we've got a collection of people that have really some wonderful disability experience. You're going to hear more about them in a minute. But today's agenda and what we're going to do is we have a pile of questions that were submitted to us via email in advance of the conference. We're going to review those, and we're also going to bounce it out and take some questions from those folks that are here live with us today. So what I would like to do first, which is one of my favorite parts of this presentation, is just to do a general introduction from everybody so we can kind of get a feel for who's out there today. And how we do this is on the count of three in no particular order. I would just like everybody to say their first name and their city or state that they're calling in from so we can kind of get an idea of who's out there. So speak up, let everybody hear where you're calling in from. So here we go. On the count of three, one, two, three, who's out there?
Awesome.
Great. I'll see if I can remember all your names. Ask me at the end. Okay, a few things before we get started. I'm going to go through and I want to introduce the people that have agreed to help us out, but I want to cover some housekeeping issues first. And this is very important. We have a lot of information to cover today. And if you would kindly mute your phone, and if you have questions, you can unmute it. And what that will allow everybody to do is eliminate the background noise of barking dogs and carpenters and, you know, your child or somebody practicing drums. So,
can you mute us out, Brian?
I can, but I want to do it this way, if possible. If you would hit *6 on your phone, and when you want to unmute, it's *7. So if you have a question to ask, which I will remind everybody when we go to that part, you can hit *7 to unmute. So *6 to mute, *7 to unmute. I really appreciate that. It makes everything go smoothly, so. Okay, so what I want to do now is I want to go through some of the folks that have agreed to lend their time to this effort and help with the Disability Digest, but will also help address some of these questions today. And first I want to, just mention Mary Sorosky, a.k.a. Geeky Granny, as you'll see her kicking around some of the work that we do, and Mary has suffers from fibro and as a result has researched a variety of information and has put together like a solid condensed version for symptoms, causes, treatments, and we'll be sharing that information with us. There's a lot of people that come to the Disability Digest, you know, because they have fibro and are looking for answers. So that's great. Mary's worked for like 20 plus years in the IT computer industry and just has a ton of experience and has helped us and, you know, really has agreed to advise us on some of the projects that we have coming up, which we're launching a social networking community that you'll learn more about in the months to come. So Mary's going to help us with some questions today. Don Wright, who some of you heard from at the top of the call, called in. Don, thanks for joining us. Don has served our country as a Vietnam vet, had a stellar corporate career, worked with a company that went through hypergrowth and had a large part in contributing to that and has a lot of experience for those that, you know, have gone through the corporate environment and have become injured or disabled. 92, I believe it was, Don got injured and applied for disability in 93 and had to fight like hell to get it. But has a very interesting story. He has, from what my work in this industry, received one of the largest back benefit checks that I've ever been aware of. It's really a fascinating story. We should, someday, Don, we'll get you to maybe sit down and we'll interview you and record it if you're willing. But Don works with us in helping people get through the Social Security disability benefit maze. He speaks with people individually, helps them understand how they can use our work and our course to maximize their chances of winning and obtain their benefits. And Don also has a dual function in that a lot of his career he spent as a VA counselor helping vets, you know, that are in need of help, understanding the benefit, you know, situation and what they can do to get going, to start, to apply, to maximize, and to really understand the whole ins and outs of the VA. So thanks, Don. Johanna Bradley, Joe, and prior to becoming disabled, was a history professor, sometime archaeologist, is a theory junkie, and loves jazz. And we have a lot of fun. Joe's been, you know, working together with me and the others here for a couple of months now. And she has a solid understanding of all levels of the disability application process coming from her teaching and educational background. And so she helps us with that and has helped with the mini course that we have for Social Security Disability. And I guess what I should say is helping us, or me especially, smooth out some of the literary bumps that we have in the work that we present. So. Next, Nancy O'Brien. Nancy is educated in computer science, retired Air Force, disabled since July 19th, 07. Nancy has done a lot of work with the ADA, participated in the Clemson University study about disability to help really individuals understand about disabilities in the workplace. So what the result of that is Nancy's got a great understanding of the ADA, how it works, how it should work, how people can use it to protect themselves and speak up and deal with their rights. So this is
on the telephone 2 hours.
This is a very big issue. So
longest call.
Sir, if you would be kind enough to mute your phone. Would you be kind enough to press *6 and mute your phone so we can continue with our presentation?
Yes, I can mute the phone. I'm just checking because my computer wouldn't accept the webinar page.
Okay. Well, we'll circulate information for you.
I could not figure out any other way to do it.
Okay. Thank you for joining. Dennis Berry, who's going to be joining us a little later on. Dennis is a partner that works as well as Don and helping individuals and one-on-one phone calls understand how to get through the Social Security Disability Benefit Maze, maximizing their chances for winning. I read one of Dennis's quotes recently. It said he learned a long time ago, in order to keep what you've been giving and blessed with, you got to give it away, and Dennis does that. He helps about 200 people a month that are members of our website with personal one-on-one consultations to help them understand, you know, what they need to do to maximize their chances for winning. And Dennis has been on benefits. He's also a veteran and does really super work and has helped a ton of people. So, at any rate, the last is me, Brian Tarion. I think most of you know my story. It's on the website. I'm not disabled. We started the Disability Digest about, this is our 17th month of being in business, and I started the business because I worked with disabled individuals in the past, and it's been a great working relationship in prior businesses. And when I researched the market and understood, and I was looking to expand on, you know, the disability labor pool that I was working with, I was astonished to find all of the voids in housing and ADA issues and how to maximize your benefits, and people don't understand how much money they can make and keep their benefits, and all the other programs that are out there, as well as a sound strategy to get on benefits. So we started the Disability Digest, and that's what we have. So we're, you know, 16,000 members strong on the email list, and we run these monthly events for you, and everything that we do is free. It's no charge. You subscribe to our list, you get all the information, and we are supported and funded by advertising. So, and we thank you, our valued members, you're the folks who really make this work. So, today is not about me or anybody else. Today is about the questions that have been sent in. So, here's what we're going to do to go forward. For those of you that have just joined us, if you would be kind enough to hold your questions and *6 your phone. And if you have questions, we're going to advise you to unmute your phone, and then we will take those questions accordingly. So, appreciate that.
Hey, Brian. Hi, it's Joe.
Hey, Joe. Okay, let's get started. The first question I really don't know a real good answer to, so I thought I'd start with that one first. If you're following along on the screen, you'll see it. This was sent in by Linda. She appreciates what we're doing, has a question that she would like to ask. Linda is receiving Social Security Disability for herself and for her daughter, but every 2 years she's going to go through a small review. And really what the SSA is trying to figure out is she's still disabled. So it puts a strain on Linda as well as her family, and the doctor said that she's not going to be better. But what she wants to know is, how can I get my disability to be in final status so that they don't have to do these reviews every couple of years? Please, everybody, Joe, is this you? If you would, please, thank you, so that we can finish this.
Brian, quickly, this is Nona.
Hey, Nona! Great, thanks. Thanks. Folks, I do want to take your questions and your comments, but we've got a ton of information to go over today, and in respect to everybody's time, if you would just wait till the appropriate time, that'd be great.
This is Michael.
So here's my take. What I would like to do with Linda is she needs to somehow get SSA to understand that she is permanently disabled and does not need a review.
We're getting a crosstalk. I can't hear a word.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'll mute all lines after this question. And then I'll unmute them accordingly. It's the only way it's going to work. Well, there's a lot of people on the call, and we just want to be respectful. So Linda needs to get SSA to understand that she is permanently disabled. I'd like to hear from somebody that has experience with this. Is there anybody in the crowd today that's gone through this that can comment? If so, hit *7 and state your name and what we can offer Linda for advice.
What? Almost all of us over 50 will have DDD to some extent or another.
Okay.
Yeah, what is it?
Degenerative disc disease. It's why we all shrink as we get older.
And how does that pertain to Linda's situation?
Well, she's got a chronic lower back pain.
Yeah.
Which she says consists of, and it's caused by, degenerative disc disease.
Mm-hmm.
And acronychitis, which is a inflammation of her sacrum. And they're going to want to check that.
Okay.
If they don't check that, she can turn around and sue the hell out of them for letting her get really paralyzed.
Okay. All right, Joe, I appreciate that. I'm going to mute all lines now. And continue on. I'm sorry, but there's too much background noise, okay?
I'm doing so they can't hear the dogs or the clocks or anything like that. But it's online, too, so I'm watching it online.
All callers are muted.
Okay, I've muted all lines, and we're going to slightly change the format here before we open it up for questions. Thank you, Joe. So what you're saying is that for Linda, she really needs to prove that her degenerative disc disease truly has her disabled in a permanent state, and that she would not be able to do any functional job that's out there. So I appreciate that. Next question that has been sent in. This is from Marion. Diagnosed with MS in 06, and what she really wants to know is, what's it going to take to qualify for Social Security disability? I'd ask Dennis Berry to address this question, but Dennis is not with us at this moment yet, so I'm going to have him chime in a little later. What somebody needs to prove, and this is a very complicated question, if you will, for this question, but the real thing is you need to prove to win any Social Security disability case is that you cannot do any job in the U.S. economic system 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. And that includes being a ticket taker at the movie theater, being a greeter at Walmart. And in order to help you understand how to do this, we have the Social Security Disability Mini Course. And that mini course is available in our members area that I am showing you online right now. If you go into our members area, which is, you can go to our homepage, thedisabilitydigest.com, and then /, members, or it's in the top right-hand corner. The Social Security Disability Minute Course literally has helped thousands of people win their case. It's free. It's packed with 12 different lessons. And what somebody needs to understand here is really the language that Social Security is looking for to win a disability case. And to help you do that, you're looking at a two-part interview, which is 90 minutes long altogether, with Jonathan Ginsberg, who is one of the most successful Social Security disability representatives that we found in our research. There's also a PDF with this. And he tells you exactly what he would do if he's an attorney to help people win a case. So basically, he walks you through what conditions qualify, how to present them, why it takes so long. And to support all that, there is these lessons that if you're looking at the screen that are right below it that walk you through how to get started, what questions to answer, what you need to file, all the way down through if you want to select an attorney or why interview an attorney before you file. So all that information is here. So for people that are in need of questions relative to applying for disability, take the mini course. If you get stuck or you need additional help, you can request an interview with a representative in there. You first of all would talk with somebody on our team like Don or Dennis, and they'll help you maximize your chances for winning. So that's how we can help Marion. Here's another one. I got a contact from Steve. Just received the magic word that my case was approved. We get like three of these a day now, very similar. And he says, what can I still learn from you? Because he's wondering if he should unsubscribe to the mailing list. It's important, not important, but what people should understand is that the Disability Digest provides 11 key areas of information. We do help a lot of people win their disability benefits, but that's not all we do. We have people maximize their disability checks. We have courses on that. We help you understand what you can do to supplement your income. From time to time, we even have positions open here at the Disability Digest. We have information about housing, advocacy issues, information on how to find a grant. And we're going to cover a lot of those today, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them right now. Plus, we have these live events that are all free. So when people come through and they have their immediate concern addressed and met, you can certainly unsubscribe and subscribe at a later date, but you're going to miss out on a lot of the current information that is designed to help you weave through the disability maze. So I'm going to try to do this again and unmute the phones and see if Nancy is with us so that we can address this next question, number four. So before I do that, for everybody on the phone, I just would like to have you make sure that your lines are muted by hitting *6 so we can eliminate the background noise, and we can take the time to go through this question. So if you just take a moment to confirm that that is done, I'd certainly appreciate it.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Don Wright.
Okay.
I'm here.
Nancy, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Glad to have you join us today. What do you say about this question? Can you shed some light on us and give us some insight?
Yes. Just finished reading it.
I can address part of it if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead, Wyatt.
One of the concerns here is it seems to me, just to kind of lead into this, that there may be, from my perspective, some concern that this individual was let go from their job, and perhaps shouldn't have been. I guess that's probably the politest way to put it. Okay? And then...
Like as an illegal termination?
Yep. And then the next question is, you know, how can you survive from the time that you file, from the time that you are approved for Medicare, which is a 24-month waiting period? And I'll address that part, and then Nancy, we can come back to the other part with you. surviving that 24-month gap is really hard. That's where the system has a big, that's where the system has a big void. And some local state agencies cover it. Sometimes there's COBRA insurance that's picked up from your employer. But I don't know what the percentages are, but I dare say that they're very high, that most people go through that period of being uninsured, which is really unfortunate. So there really is no, there's no clean-cut answer until Medicare kicks in. If somebody else out there has suggestions or advice on how to bridge that 24-month gap, you know, unmute your phone, hit *7, and love to hear the input for it. Nancy.
Yes.
What do you say?
I am taking notes for this. The first thing that I think is the legal termination, you have to be real careful with that because in, for example, Wisconsin, the state where I am, that's a real slippery slope because it is at will employment for the employee and the employer. So you have to prove your case to be illegally terminated. In other words, you really have to have some serious documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, Pardon? Another question when you get done?
Yeah, let's let Nancy finish if we can, please, Joe.
Most important here is that she has any documentation that's leading to this, the layoff, if she has any documentation with her supervisors saying that her position is no longer necessary or anything with surrounding that, that is, if she has that, especially in California, she could probably find a lawyer who will work with her on a basis where they will get a part of the award.
Okay.
And I am about 99% sure that she could find that in California.
So let me make sure I understand this. And this is actually, I think, great advice for anybody that is in the workplace now and suspects that they might be wrongfully terminated. What your advice is to start building your case with proper documentation. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Keep any and all paperwork or email, print them, and keep every single one of them.
Okay. And
that has to do with your job or your position.
And your performance, et cetera, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Questions. Anytime something doesn't even feel right, keep a copy.
Great advice. Okay. Super, thank you. Joe, did you have a comment on this?
Brian?
Yes.
This is Sam Borges, and I was actually an HR manager. And actually, against the ABA laws, they cannot terminate somebody because of an illness unless they are no longer able to do any job at all at that place of employment. And he would definitely have a good case. And there are tons of lawyers out there that would take on a wrongful termination case. But that's where they get creative, and they don't let you go because of that specific thing. They get creative and find other reasons.
Yeah.
Exactly. They'll use attendance or performance or something like that. But if they didn't write you up for it and give you a verbal warning and a written warning and things like that, if you took in doctor's notes when you were ill, stating that you could not work for a period of time, they cannot terminate you for any medical reason whatsoever. They have to find a job for you, whether it's in their
counting
paperclips
all day. Yeah, but they'll lie like crazy.
I want to see if I can verify this information. This is great feedback. Is the culture out there such that corporations will, let's say, for lack of a better phrase, roll the dice and take the risk with the hunch that they won't get called on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't think that the employee will fight it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're not afraid to terminate somebody for a wrongful reason because they don't think that the employee will fight it.
Well, they also
terminate somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
And we Brian?
Yeah, one at a time, please.
Sorry, sir.
Okay.
Brian, this is Linda Smith from Augusta, and I went through the exact same scenario as this. I was let go from a large financial institution because of my disability, and I did seek an attorney, and I fought it, and what ended up happening was the institution said that they were overstaffed at their office, so my position was actually done away with. 3 months later, they hired somebody to do the exact same thing that I was doing. So basically, what everybody is saying is correct. They come up with a very clever way of getting around, you know, the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I fought it, you know, tooth and nail, and there wasn't anything that I could do.
Well, you know,
what did they write down for your termination reason?
That they were doing away with my position.
So it was like a reduction in force? Did they give you a severance package?
No.
Did they give you unemployment?
No. I ended up doing the exact same thing. I had to get COBRA, and I want to let everybody know. I also chose to see if I could get some additional insurance, and any additional insurance does not cover pre-existing conditions. COBRA does. So that's very important for everybody to know. It's really better in the long run to keep the COBRA, even though it's more expensive, but any other insurance has a waiting period on pre-existing conditions.
Good tip. Good. Good.
Hi.
Okay, let's take one more comment on this, and I don't want to ignore it, but in respect of time, we want to touch on all the areas. One more comment, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Brian? This is Linda from Nevada. I had a similar situation going on. I was with a Reno, Nevada, and as a security officer. And about 4 years ago, I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Okay.
Shortly after that, I got sat down with the HR people and whatever, and we hashed out to where I was doing 410, which got beautiful because that was just 4 hours more, and I had 3 days to recuperate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I was with this company from the day they opened the door, actually 2 weeks before. And so about 10.5 years into it, being a day oneer and one of the last ones there in the security department, I got about 3 write-ups, a couple of verbal warnings, and this is having a stellar record prior to this. And this is
too.
The last, 4 months of the whole thing, okay? So in March 1st of 2006 was my last day of work. Then I got forced onto an FMLOA, or Family Medical Leave of
Absence.
And I tried to get the disability insurance, which I signed up for in 97. And I think I maybe got $4,500 from them over an 18-month period, which is BS, thank you. Anyway, I signed up for the COBRA, and that just ran out in December of 31st of last year. And so now I also signed up. I also tried to applied for Social Security disability. I just got in the works right now.
One moment, Linda. Would everybody else on the line please press *6 on the phone if you have not done so, especially the dog in the background there. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah,
please continue.
And we're outside, thank you. Anyway, So if it wouldn't been for the fact that my parents moved out of the area and my brother and I sold the property and split the profit, I wouldn't have had any way of paying my bills. Because I was on road work. In April of 2006, that same, you know, within a month of having been laid off or forced on that FMLA, had a stroke. A mini one, mind you, but still a stroke. And it's kind of screwed me up. Right, it's intensified the pain of the fibromyalgia.
Oh, yeah.
My return memory is shot to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Is there a pressing question that you have for us today?
I'm just kind of at wit's end right now.
Okay. Well, here's, if I could suggest this, that's a great contribution to this segment. If you're stuck at some certain point, if you just collect your thoughts and we're going to continue on and take some individual questions, love to take one and see how we can help you move forward and make things a little better for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to stay on our schedule here if I could. So we're going to take some open questions at the end. What I'd like to do is address this next question. Dennis Berry, are you out there? Okay, Dennis had an appointment. He's going to be turning up here in a bit. But the next question here is we have somebody that is living in Maryland, moving to South Carolina in the near future, and they want to, you know if they can start the process in Maryland applying for Social Security disability, that is, and then move. And the answer is yes, you can. You know, the rules for Social Security are the same everywhere. It's a federal program. So you can apply and move. There's no problem with that. Quickly, I want to go on to the next question, which is from Judy. Judy has a couple of questions that she wanted to submit. And one is, what, if anything, can cause disability payments to increase? Actually, for this next moment, I'm going to mute the lines for a moment, so bear with me.
All callers are muted.
So, back to Judy's question here. She wants to know what, if anything, will cause disability payments to increase or decrease. And some things that will cause them to actually increase is there's a slight cost of living increase, but don't plan on buying a car with it. I mean, it's like 2 or 3%. And I believe there was just one that was announced. The other thing that can cause your check to increase is Social Security does make enhancements to the program. And this is important for anybody on benefits, especially if you're on SSI and SSDI. There are offsets to the program that can allow you to pick up extra monies or have items paid for that are not paid for. You can learn about that in the members area by taking this course, How to Maximize Your Disability Benefits. It's an interview with Jim Troxel from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and it really will help you get a good understanding of how you can use a product called Workware to do a benefit review. If you're on benefits and you haven't done a benefit review, you really should learn about these and be doing them every 4 months so that you understand if there's anything out there that's additional that's available for you. Some things that will reduce your check, overpayment issues, which sometimes happen. It's usually a Social Security faux pas. Child support, or, you know, if there's criminal activity and you're convicted of a felony, then that can certainly impact your benefits and could totally eliminate them. The next segment of the question is a house or a condo that is bequeathed or, if you will, given to a disabled person. Will that affect the monthly disability income? And the way the rule reads with Social Security is there's this sustained gainful activity rule, which applies for anybody that is going through the approval process all the way through once you have been awarded benefits. And what it means is, if you can do any SGA, sustained gainful activity, that allows you to work and in general will earn more than $900 a month by working, and as a direct result of that activity and working generates income, then it will impact your benefit amount. And again, you can learn about that in this course right here called Maximizing Your Benefits. So in this particular situation, this income or this asset would not be as a result of Judy working. This would be as a result of a gift. So it would not, based on the SGA rules, impact the benefit amount. So that's that issue. The next question is from Ellen. Ellen wants to know the right time to apply. They're out of work 5 months, has fiber, bipolar, etc. And you know what I tell people is, you know, there's a lot of donor wisdom out there. People go and collect information from sources that are not relevant or reliable. And in this instance, from what I've studied and what the experts say, is I would apply the moment that somebody is out of work and they don't think that they're going to be able to go back to work for a year or more. And the reason for that is it's a long process. And if you wait 5 or 6 or 7 months, it's still going to be a long process, and waiting is not going to speed your case up. So the key is go back into the mini course, take the mini course, understand your options for applying, and go forward and get that application in. Don't apply for the sake of applying. Here's where a lot of people go wrong, is they put a bad application in. So we advocate that everybody do their research and understand the process for applying. And if they don't want to be bothered with doing the research and taking the mini course, then find somebody competent that can help them out. Talk to one of our partners, Don or Dennis or somebody else that can speak with you, and they can guide you through the options, and you can request that call through the mini course. So that's the strategy for that. Apply as soon as you can. Next question. This is a very interesting one, and actually I'm going to see if Mary is out on the call to chime in on this one and anybody else as well, but let me just first comment. this individual has a court date coming up. Been trying to heal herself from fibro with natural remedies. Traditional medicine hasn't worked. Question is, with a court date coming up, would it help that, you know, to show that we've been taking natural products? Will I get turned down because I don't have enough doctor's visits, and medical, and a long medical history? You can read more about this in here. My excerpt, if you will, from the interviews with Jonathan Ginsberg and the other, Carl Osterhaus and the others that have helped us build the mini course is, with Social Security, you need to really show, to win your case, to maximize your chances for winning, you need to show consistent medical treatment through traditional means, which is, in their eyes, conventional doctors, that you have visits and that you're making a conscious effort to get better. I don't think it would hurt that if you were going through conventional treatment, and in addition to that, you were trying natural remedies. I don't see that from my take that would have a negative impact. But if you are relying on natural treatments to get better, based on what I've read and understood, I haven't seen that is going to be a helpful for your case. So I want to see if anybody else has experienced anything different. So I'm going to unmute the phones here. If you do have a comment on this, please select *7 on your phone, and love to hear from you.
All callers are unmuted.
No.
Okay, and back again. Does anybody have a comment on this? Experience the same thing? Okay, please state your name and the comment.
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
And under the state of Maryland, that government employees, acupuncture is covered, is considered pain treatment and fibro treatment, and they encourage you to use it. And that refers in a way back to the question to Maryland, South Carolina. I might want to start my case in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. What about other natural remedies? Like, there's a lot of, you know, herbal solutions. There's a lot of people that have found success with other natural remedies. Have you seen anything else pertaining to
genetics? They don't have good doctors, because the two things they're picking up on most often is non-iron-based anemia, which goes undetected, a hypothyroidism disease called Hashimoto, named after the famous Finnish doctor.
Okay. So that's a good point that you brought up. So, one comment, and then I'd like to hear from the next person is, look in your state for what's approved natural treatments would be, and how do you suggest that somebody find that, Joe?
I found it when I was much, much younger, and I was doing mountain climbing. I fell 15 meters on a rope, and I was wearing a sit harness and a chest harness. And
but let me pause you there. Joe, how do you find out the natural treatments that are approved?
They send to me as part of their pain management.
Okay.
This guy had an MD from America and a Chinese MD. He was just like a physical therapist or one of the other MDs.
Okay, great.
That's the benefit of being near a whole lot of teaching hospitals.
All right, appreciate that. Who else has a comment?
Brian.
Brian, I did.
Who wants to go first? Please state your name.
Sam.
Okay. Your comment, please.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say that my psychiatrist is a forensic psychiatrist, so he's one of the people that often sees patients when they're applying because of a bipolar or mental condition. And he said, because I was trying to treat my fibromyalgia with natural remedies as well, and he said that 9 times out of 10, if you do not have medical doctor to back up your treatment and what has been going on, it will just prolong your case, and you'll just have to keep appealing it and appealing it and appealing it.
Yeah, that's what I've learned as well. Thank you for sharing that. Don, did you have a comment?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. I did not use fibromyalgia as one of the reasons for disability, but I've had it all along. And the last comment about the MD, I would try very, very hard to make sure that you've got a rheumatologist or somebody who's easily recognized as mainstream, and you've got documentation of your fibromyalgia from that person. It makes it a whole lot easier for the judge to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Yeah. Actually, if you signed up, the Disability Digest also runs a fibromyalgia guide, and there's information that supports exactly what Don said, that is directly from, actually this is partly from Carl Osterhaal, who has won a ton of fibromyalgia cases, so thanks for sharing that. Okay, let's move on to the next question that we have here, and thank everybody for muting their lines with star 6. It seems pretty tolerable right now. Next question, one of my favorites. Can a person on disability, can they make money? How much can they make and still keep their benefits? How does all that work? And all these questions, like they say, all the roads lead to Rome, but all the questions seem to lead back into how much money can I make and not lose my benefits. But I want to elaborate on this because it's a great question and one of my favorites. Yes, you can work, and yes, you can keep your benefits. There's two general ways to look at this. If you're working for somebody else as an employee, you would be earning W-2 income, like you get a paycheck and they take your taxes out of it, and that's reported and that goes against your Social Security number. The Social Security rules say that you can earn up to about $900 a month, and there's some variations to that, but I encourage you to take the course that I just showed you so you know exactly what it is. If you have a visual impairment, it's more, and there's different offsets and all that stuff. But that's the general rule. The other variable is that you can, if you're self-employed or do something from home or are earning money as an independent contractor and receive a 1099, which from my experience in working with, you know, wonderful members like you have decided is the preferred way to do it, then you have a lot more flexibility in how much money you can potentially make. And I encourage you to understand all about that by, when you're in the members area, if you're looking at our screen, there's a course in here that we did with Andy Leaf, who has put more people with disabilities in business than anybody I know. And this course walks you through a whole strategy on how to start a business. And if you're an independent contractor, you really are running your own business. But what he talks about in here is how to have a corporate structure, which might sound extremely sophisticated. But if you're incorporated and your corporation is making money, it allows you to earn, you know, more money in an environment like that, and your Social Security number is only reported on the money that the corporation pays back to you as a paycheck. Kind of complicated, perhaps, at this point, but I encourage you to go through the course, listen to the interview, it clearly maps it out, and it's a great strategy. So to recap, working for somebody else, you can earn up to $900 a month. You can work for yourself as an independent contractor doing something from home and earn about the same amount of money and potentially more if you structure it as a corporation. So, great question.
So, Brian? Brian?
Yes, could you state your name, please?
This is Sam.
So, if you are selling, like, Avon or Mary Kay,
yep.
It would not be a good idea to report that income.
No, nope, that's wrong. You report all the income that you earn. I don't encourage any...
I don't have a 1099.
Well, then you need,
you
need to file your own reported income because you're selling a product like that. So when you complete your taxes at the end of the year, you declare your income. I definitely do not make any money and not report it. I don't suggest that be wise strategy for anybody. So, again, you can earn up to $900 a month selling Mary Kay or Avon. According to the SGA regulations.
Not with my expenses, I don't make more than $900 a month because I'm not able to do that much with it, but it does come in handy.
My point was you could. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Brian, I have a question.
And, is it pertaining to what we just discussed?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Greg, and I'm self-employed. And I've had my own company for, you know, 8 years, you know, over here. And I'm not able to work now, but...
Greg, could you speak up just a little bit, please? This is great. I want to have everybody hear it.
Sure. Well, I haven't been able to work, and I haven't actually filed disability yet, although I'm getting ready to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to work, and I don't want my company to fall apart if I should be able to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm struggling with my body, and am I allowed it sounds like I can do up to $900 a month of work.
Well, you can. Are you in your 30s?
No, I'm in my
50s. Okay, all right. We had a very similar situation a day or two ago. What if you're going to apply for Social Security disability and they find that you are president of a corporation? You know, that's going to throw up a flag. So what I would do is, if you are currently in a corporate environment, is I would take a look at that, and then you can still keep a position in the company. But here's the big point. To win any Social Security disability case, and we get reports back from people every day that have won, very few people are able to win if they are working and earning any money part-time. It really, really is getting difficult. Even from all the representatives and attorneys that I've interviewed around the U.S., it has almost gotten to the point where they actually don't even speak to people that are working part-time. So just keep that in mind. The rule says you can, but what the rule says and what the award cases on are two totally different things.
Sure.
Okay? Good question. Let's move on so we can stay on track here. Mary, are you out there? Okay. I'm going to help with this question. We have people contact us periodically about work that they've done, whether they're writing a blog or writing a book or writing an experience or journaling what they're doing about something that's disability-related. And, you know, so what people are looking to do is to how to take this work and to put good use to it, value to it. And so for this individual that the question is, actually I skipped ahead, I'll come back to the grant one. What my suggestion is, if somebody is running something that's disability related or they have a product or a service or a message that's of value, we would like to hear from you. And the reason is we are, within the next month or so, we're launching a social networking community that's like MySpace or Facebook. And it's a place for our members and others to come and share videos and messages and stories and inspire each other and help everybody through the disability maze that's out there. And we're looking for great content and people with a message. So I would certainly welcome and entertain anybody that can add value to that effort by contacting us. You can just reply to emails that you're receiving with any information that you might have that would be able to help us out. So back to the grant question that we have here. How to apply for a grant, where to apply, can you actually get grants? You sure can, and I'm going to show you exactly what you can do to learn about it. For those of you that are online right now looking at my computer screen, in the members area there's a section that's called Find a Grant. And I used to be I'm gonna mute the phones and I'll come right back on and take some questions about this because I know there's others that have some comments on this. So bear with me, I'll be right back. I just want to finish this segment here. All callers are muted. Okay, regarding grants, you can get grants. It is possible. As I mentioned, I used to be pessimistic about this because I would commonly ask people that would attend meetings like this, and I'd say, has anybody ever been able to solidify a grant? And then I met Rose Gwell, and Rose is a fascinating person. This is an interview with her on this page. It says, learn exactly how people with disabilities find grant money. There is grant money out there. There's tons of it. It's not easy to get. You've got to really do your homework to get it. There's about $850 billion in disabled grant money that is available annually. So Rose has solidified over 480 grants for people just in the last few years for housing, for retiring debt, for medical expenses, for, you know, starting a business. You can do it. Now, what she's done in this interview is she's walked through the same six steps that she used to get grants for people. And you start with your local agencies. And what a lot of people should also understand is I encourage people to do a little bit of work on their own, find out how far they can get, and then you can get help with this from Centers for Independent Living, which are advocacy agencies that support people with disabilities. We'll talk more about them later. And you can also get vocational rehabilitation help. If you have found a grant in your area that you think that you qualify for, they typically will provide the resources to help you complete the application and apply for it. So you don't need to go out and hire some super-duper grant writer. You just need to understand that there are resources available, and for those of you online, I just clicked on the Centers for Independent Living link in the members area, that there are agencies to help you. So just to recap this segment, listen to Rose's work, understand the process and what you need to do and where you can go in your local community and nationally to find grants that are in line with what your needs are, and then find the resources from Centers for Independent Living, Vocational Rehabilitation, to help you complete and submit the grant application, and you're on your way. So it does happen, it does work, and there is hope for those that are interested in grants. So I'm going to unmute the phones. I'll take any grant-related topics, suggestions, or comments on this.
All callers are unmuted. Okay.
Mississippi, who have all but eliminated secondary assistance.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Who are we hearing?
This is Mary.
Mary, how are you?
I've been trying. I have been in. I've been listening, but nobody can hear me. So
did you mute your phone?
I'm having a heck of a time.
Did you mute your phone?
No.
Oh. Well, we can hear you now. Glad to have you with us.
I had the phone, and it didn't work. I just get kicked out. It wouldn't let me connect. And then so I tried a different phone line, and now on my landline. So now I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was, the first time I was in, nobody could hear me, but I could hear everybody.
Okay. Well,
so
glad,
I'm up, and then down again, now everybody can hear me.
I'm glad you're with us. I spoke on your behalf, but I'm sure there'll be other places where we'd certainly value your input. Are there any questions relative to grants that we could take a question while we're on this topic? Or anybody that has a success story about getting a grant, that would be a great one.
Can anybody hear me? Hello?
I can hear you. And who is it that's speaking?
Yes, this is Linda Smith from Augusta. And Brian, I have filed your information about how to apply for grants. I've gone over everything with a fine-tooth comb. I contacted the Chamber of Commerce here locally,
mm-hmm.
and also the Economic Development. I've done everything, and I cannot get them to respond to me, to help me. I've emailed them. I've called them. Where do I go from here?
Have you physically gone there? Are you able to do that?
With my disability, I'm not able to get out. I have called them numerous times, and they're basically telling me they're not the people that could handle that. And I asked them, well, who would I get in contact with?
Okay.
And they're telling me they don't know.
What about Centers for Independent Living? Have you attempted to contact a counselor to see if you can get assistance and go in the right direction to find out if you qualify for anything?
No, that would be my question. Would you suggest that would be the next place to go?
Yeah, as Rose said, use the resources that are out there, and that's what their job is. And just a quick commercial on these centers, they're funded. They're government funded, but they're run by disabled individuals for people with disabilities. So,
I would look that up under Centers for Independent Living in my area. Is that how I would locate that?
Go into our members area. Are you online looking at my computer screen right now?
I am.
Okay, so you're in the members area right now, which is where we keep everything. There's a link that I'm showing you right now. It says Centers for Independent Living. When you go in here, you'll learn all about the Centers for Independent Living, what they do, the services that they provide. At the bottom of this page, you can watch a video overview that shows, that tells you more, but there's a map. And this map is of all the states in the U.S., you're in Georgia, right? So you follow that, you read right through, and this will bring you into all of them that are in your area. Find the one that's closest to you. And, you know, whether it's for housing or seeking grants or networking or other peer support issues with any government agency, you know, it's not easy. I'm just going to tell you, you need to be polite and persistent. But, you know, it can be done, and it will be done if you approach it that way. Okay?
Okay. Thank you for your
input. Okay. I thought another type that's kind of good for grants and stuff, and scholarships, if people want to go back to school, it's called FastWeb. And you sign up on it, and they will send you emails on places that have scholarships or grants coming up for it, if you want to put it in your education or anything like that.
Great.
I have a question on that.
Let's take one more question on this, and then we're going to move on and wrap up on our questions here. Please.
Okay. According to my SSDI agent, if I'm able to be in a competitive environment, such as an online school, I'm capable of working.
Right.
So you gotta be real careful.
Yep. Good point. Okay, next question, which is kind of where we're going with this. I also would, this question here is, somebody draws SSI, which is different, and I'd love to find some light work on the net to do at home that won't mess up my SSI. So this is a slight variation of what we have discussed in the past, and to understand how much money you can make and not lose your benefits, of course, go to the Maximize Your Benefits course. But here's a few tips for people that are looking for things to do that are legitimate. You can go to My Income Guardian, which is a website that we have, and from time to time we have positions that are available through the Disability Digest, so you can check those out. And, but in general, and I'm going to put that up here on the screen, in general, if you are looking for something to do from home, you need to be careful. There's a lot of really, shall I say, less than legitimate opportunities out there. And a few tips that I give people are, if they're looking for your money and they're offering something, is try to contact them and talk to somebody. Try to do the free trial. Send them an email, see if you get responses. Ask for references are another good thing. You want to speak to others that have had, you know, success in doing that and how long they've been with them. Check with the various agencies and bureaus that are out there. So in the future, we look to profile more legitimate home-based business things that you can do. But there's a lot of creative ideas that we've had from other members out there. One of my favorite stories that I just want to share with you real quickly is we had somebody on that was a counselor that worked with people and coached people on how to start a business. And what they helped this person understand is really what they could do that was consistent with what they like to do, and this individual only really could think of what she liked to do is sit around. So what became of that is this individual started a business called Sitting Around, and she would go to people's homes and she would sit there and wait for the cable repairman or the dishwasher fixer to show up so somebody didn't have to take the day off from work. Right? Got paid cash, great business. So what I would suggest that people do is, you know, to come up with some ideas and really listen to Andy Reese's work that he did, learn how exactly how people can start a business. Regardless of if you want to start a business or not, this will help you find something that is legitimate, help you find something that is conducive to what you like to do, and conducive to your disability. So that's a few tips for people that are looking to do some work.
Brian?
I thought it was
82.5. Okay.
Brian?
Yes, who's speaking, please?
Hey, I got a real quick question.
Is this Mary?
I do,
I got mute on.
Your question, please?
Yeah. What's your question?
You want to talk, you hit
All right, folks. We're getting some background noise, so if you would kindly star six your phone to mute, I would appreciate it. Great. Thank you. Next question is from Pat. Pat has both rotator cuffs are torn, suffers from fibro, has worked 4 to 17 hours as a companion to the elderly. Long story short, wants to know, is there someone that she can contact for information regarding my chances of approval? And yes, there is. There's the fine work that people like, Don and Dennis and other partners do with the Disability Digest. And how you can learn about that is go into the Disability Mini Course or into the members area, and you can request a review, and somebody will contact you from the Disability Digest and go through the strategy and help you formulate your case. So you can speak to somebody live about that. We're not attorneys, but we've had thousands of people win just with a simple strategy, and it's free, so you're welcome to take advantage of it. Okay. Don, we've got a couple of vet questions here that I would like to I'd like to spend some time on. So if one more time, everybody, if would you kindly mute your phones? with star 6, and then if you want to participate, hit star 7. Donnie, are you still there? Don Wright?
Yes.
Oh, great. Here's a question from Donald. I probably don't need to read it to you, but somebody's permanently disabled with VA benefits and they've been reduced. What advice do you have? This is a common one. Usually it comes in a couple different flavors.
Well, typically what happens is you get at least 60 days notice prior to being reduced. There are all kinds of opportunities to have a review. You can, number one, document your existing permanent disability to the VA. This thing sounds strange, to be honest with you, to be reduced from 70 to 10%. What I think happened here is...
Don, one minute, please, and just... folks, would you kindly star 6 your phones so that we can eliminate the background noise? We would really appreciate it. Okay. Please continue.
My best guess is what was going on here is somebody was getting temporary 70%, let's say for a recovery from a major surgery or something for 12 months, and then was reduced back to 10. So, for Donald, I don't know if he's on the line, but the first thing he should do is he should see a qualified counselor, somebody who could sit down with him and review his medical records and write a letter of disagreement. It's called a notice of disagreement. And send it to the VA and request a hearing. And in most areas, it's called a DRO hearing, disability review officer. And the DRO person has the ability to change any decision that has been made based on evidence. But there's a saying in the VA disability business is, if you've got it, we can get it for you. But if you don't have it, we can't get it. So if the guy is literally currently disabled as a result of his service, not from something else, then he should have a real good shot at getting 100%.
Okay, good. Great advice. Then the next one from Greg is kind of the other way. He's already up 10% and wants to get higher.
Essentially the same thing. There are all kinds of people all over the country who are authorized by the VA to represent veterans. They can be with a service organization, that is a DAV, a Disabled American Veteran, the American Legion, VFW, or they can be county agents, or they can be state agents, or I know in my city, in Jacksonville, Florida, we have a Veterans Affairs division, and they have 10 people who are trained to represent veterans. The whole key is to get your father, the sergeant major, in front of one of these people and have a review of his disabilities that might be service-connected and reapply to the VA.
Great. Great.
Brian, I might be able to help with that search.
And who's speaking, please?
My name is Stephen Robertson. I'm the Coast Service Officer with American Legion 146 in Petal, Mississippi.
Stephen, I want to hear from you, but I just want to clear the lines here. Folks, one more time, if you would star 6 your phones, we're still getting some background noise. Please, we really, truly appreciate it.
I know, but it's about...
Okay, please, Steve.
They can go to legion.org. There's also a video that I just produced and put on my post website where the national commander gives a toll-free number where veterans can call and explain their situation, and we will find the nearest post to you and have that post service officer make contact with you. That website is AmericanLegionPost146.com.
Wow.
And the video requires Windows Media Player.
Okay, perfect.
And I myself am totally and permanently disabled, but living in the state of Mississippi, Governor Haley Barbour is pretty much at war with disabled people. He has all but eliminated pretty much any of the programs that are here. Can't find housing vouchers. They say that I earn too much in disability for food stamps, yet they expect me to live on $700 a month.
Interesting.
If I may, Brian?
Yes.
There are all kinds of veteran service officers. The key to helping you win your case is to go out and interview. It's just like with Social Security. You want to go out and interview a representative, who's authorized by the VA to represent you. Then you want to sign a power of attorney that gives them the authority to represent you and to have access to your records. And then you want to work with that service representative. They're called all kinds of things. Service officer is most common. And they can come from any organization. They can come from Paralyzed Veterans. They can come from American Legion. But the whole challenge is for the individual to find somebody that he or she is comfortable with and that they find that the person has a degree of expertise that they trust.
Great.
The American Legion are required to go to the VA organization and actually take a licensure program.
Yeah, but that's true of all service organizations.
Exactly. The other thing I wanted to add real quick is that
one moment, gentlemen. Folks, whoever invited the dog, would you please star six your phone?
And are hired in another state. There's a disparity between the states as to how your disability gets rated, and they're still trying to unify a national standard.
Steve, I'm going to try this one more time, please.
I have a comment, and I have a question.
One moment. I'm going to try to get the dog to stop barking. Folks, please, if you would star six your phones, even if you think that you already have done it, just to make sure that there's no background noise. Thank you very much.
Yes, again, this is Dorothy, and I'm a vet. I'm at the point where I have applied 6 months ago for unemployability. I want to ask Don, how do you get the VA to not take so long when you need living expenses?
You can write to the VA, and
okay.
You can tell them of your dire need and explain what it is, and ask for an expedited decision in your case.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
And Don, how can you be reached?
Through the Disability Digest.
Yep.
If
you want, Don, you can reply to any of the emails and just request to speak to Don, and we'll make sure that, include your phone number, that Don contacts you.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, good. Don, appreciate the insight there and others. Okay, what I'd like to do now is take some random questions, of course, disability related. I did receive a question that somebody asked me who was going to win the presidential election, and I didn't put that one up in the board. So, anything that's disability related, generally that we covered here today, let's take the time that we have, 10, 15 minutes that's left, and answer some random questions. Just hit *7 on the phone, state your name and your question, and we would be delighted to do what we can to help you out.
Hey, Brian. Hi,
Anne. One at a time, please.
Everything that I have been asked is answered.
Okay.
This is Debbie. Can you hear me?
Yes, Betty, I can.
Debbie.
Debbie, I'm sorry.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, you may.
First time doing this. First time being disabled. I'm 50 years old, and I work for the school board.
Okay.
I work for the school board.
Okay, and you
hear me?
Yes, I can. And your question is?
Okay, my
Brian, I'm getting nothing but Don. Dennis.
Okay, that's fine. One more time, if everybody would star 6 your phones, please, unless you have a question, hit star 6 even if you think you already have. Thank you.
Okay, this is Debbie again.
Hey, Debbie.
I work for the school board.
Yep.
I was told by my employer that I either have to leave the school because I was disabled, I lost my job, but I do get disability, long-term disability from a private company from the school board.
Okay.
I was told by them that I can apply for Social Security. They would help me with an attorney.
Yep.
And I just got, I applied for Social Security. It's been about 6 months. I just got a response and I was denied.
Okay.
I already got and received, approval from disability, a long-term disability company. Why would they deny me if I was already, approved?
Good question.
By this company.
Here's the difference. Long-term disability, depending on your policy, looks at disability in a different way. Perhaps you're disabled from your job at that company, but with Social Security, the rules are entirely different. With Social Security, they don't look at, the fact that you can't do the job that you did before. With Social Security, you need to prove that you can't do any job in the U.S. economic system 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, which includes a ticket taker at the movie theater, the greeter at Walmart, any of those jobs, even if you are overqualified for them, okay? So this is where long-term disability and Social Security get interesting, because the long-term disability companies want you to file for Social Security because they only have to pay the difference between the two policies. But not everybody that is qualified for long-term disability will really is qualified for Social Security disability. So you really, and here's one other thing that I'm just learning more about, and you can go to, if you, think it's disabledworker.com, or Troy was asking if you look at some of his work, he advises that you be very careful about using a disability representation firm that has been referred to you by your long-term disability carrier. And the reason for that is they share medical information back and forth. And because of the difference in the qualification criteria, Troy's work explains that that is not the best solution for you to do. You don't want your Social Security disability case information reported back to your long-term disability carrier. So anyway, those are a few tips. So I guess the real thing is if you need help getting approved and you're stuck, maybe the representative that you have will do a great job. If they don't, you can release them.
That means at that point you have to hire an attorney?
Well, what the steps are is you only can have one, it doesn't have to be an attorney. There are fine folks that win lots of disability cases that are not attorneys. And there's arguments for who's better. And I've interviewed, piles of both. But the steps are you need to really make the decision if this person lost the case because they didn't do their job. Or it's not uncommon that you get denied the first time, even if you have a representative. But to release them, we have the release form. We're actually going to do a blog post here coming up that will tell you exactly what it is. But if you need it, just email us and say, I want the attorney release form, and we'll send it back to you. It's like one paragraph, and it's easy. And in some cases, if the representative is not doing their job, it will help you speed up the process. And to really find out if the representative is doing their job, go through lessons 8 and 9 in the mini course and ask them the questions that are in there.
Okay?
You're welcome.
My name's Marisa, and I'm calling from Houston. And my question to you is, I have been disabled since I helped a nursing patient out of bed when I was 19. I'm 36 now. I have gone through 3 Texas Rehabilitation retraining programs. I have been retrained 3 times to do 3 different positions. And each time, I have been fired from those positions due to my disability. My question is that going to vote in my favor that I have continuously tried to find gainful employment?
Yeah. Well, I didn't understand your first name. Would you?
Generally, yes.
How do you?
Marisa.
Pardon me?
Fucking call me Mars. Everybody else does.
M-A-R-S?
Yeah, like the planet. Oh, way nice. Out there.
Here's what I've learned from this. First of all, you're young, and winning a Social Security disability case when you're in your 30s is, you really need to have a solid case. It doesn't mean you can't win. Lots of people do. And work attempts are actually do work in your favor, no pun intended, because it shows that you are actually out there. You're trying to do it. You've gone through, you know, vocational rehabilitation and all that. So, it works in your favor. Is there more to your question, Mars? Like, is your real question, are you wondering if you qualify for Social Security, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that is the case. I mean, my back is tore up from the floor.
Yeah.
I have 25% rating disability when I got off of workers' comp. They gave me the MMI rating of 25%. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I shudder to think as to what it is now. It's to the point where I can't even walk some days. I'm on my hands and knees crawling after my kids.
Mars, here's my suggestion. Here's my suggestion, okay? Is I would if you'd like to find out, you haven't applied, right?
Excuse me? No.
Okay.
I've applied, but I was turned down, and that was
okay.
In my early 20s.
What I would do is, are you looking at the computer, at my computer screen right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, there's this disability mini course in here. I'd certainly spend the time.
Yeah, I've checked out.
Okay, and I would speak to one of the partners that work with a Disability Digest and have them review your case with you, and they can help you with a strategy and help you find out if you do indeed qualify. You know, somebody like Don or Dennis would spend some time on the phone with you. So just complete the application form and get that requested, and you can find out. So.
Okay. Now my next question real quick is, will Johnson's book be able to help me?
That's a loaded question. Sure, it will help you. I mean, it's helped lots of people win, but there's barriers for a lot of people. It costs money. And so the strategy of the mini course, real quickly, is this. There's 11 free lessons in there that if anybody does anything, take them all. Jonathan spent 90 minutes with us. He tells us everything basically that you need to know.
Yeah, I listened to that. That was very informative.
Use all of that, and then in the work that I've done, what we've helped people win with is interview a representative about your case. A really good one that we've gone through, we know, we've met, and then understand what they say. If they say, you know what, Mars, we win 91% of our cases, and we'd be willing to accept your case, and we think we could help you win it. Well, now you know you've got a case, all right? So you've done the mini course, you've interviewed a good representative, and then you step back and you say, okay, how am I going to file now? Do I want to file with a representative now, or do I want to take a shot at this on my own? And for the most part, if you want to go it on your own, and you really want to try it and maximize your chances, that's where the guide will help you. You can still use a representative and get the guide, but see, the thing is that we've done is we've worked and interviewed. I've interviewed over 180 representatives now, and for people that are just starting, what we suggest that you do if you want to file with a representative is consider using a full-service firm that will actually do the paperwork for you, because the key is this. If you get the paperwork right, you've maximized your chances for winning, and the statistics are in the course, but quickly is this. Like Katie Kirk and everybody else says, you've got a 75% chance of getting denied and a 25% chance of getting approved first time, okay?
Right.
Full service firms, which is a very new trend in the industry, it's about 6-8 months old that I've discovered it, but these full service firms have been doing, that I've discovered these firms, but they've been doing it for a while. The ones that complete the forms are winning like 80, 82% some of them before these cases get to a hearing. Okay? So I don't know if you follow where I'm going with this. It's all in the paperwork. Whether you do it and use the free information, use Jonathan's guide, or use a representative, it is how you communicate your case. So that's my commission.
Okay. Now, I do see a pain management doctor, and I see him every few weeks. And I got extensive medical records. That is also a must, yes?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Because they make me fill out pain diaries every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How it affects me, whatnot, and how it,
sure.
You know, screws with life.
Even for folks that are on the call right now, like as Jonathan advises, if you're still working, you should start preparing your case. Just like Nancy said, for a workplace discrimination issue, you need to document on it. You need to do the same for your medical conditions, for the pain diary, and keeping all your records. So.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, ma'am.
Okay, who else has a question? Let's take two more questions. Okay, Mary, is this you?
Yes.
All right.
Gigi. So that's easier. I have a question because it's for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He's going around again. He was totally turned down, here in Idaho. And basically the judge called him a liar, which is not true. The judge basically chose to not list me, to accept the doctor's claim that my husband had many. And, so my husband's trying again, he's trying again down in Reno where his folks live.
Mm-hmm.
And he applied last November, I think it was, October, November. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, he's called a guy, well, further back than that, he did the SSDI, Social Security Manual to the psychologist. And the psychologist says, yeah, you are disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back, and now he's talking to the guy who's handling the case at Social Security, and 2 weeks ago, he said, oh, I'll have an answer for you by the end of next week. So he just needed the last judge's letter from the appeal court, because he went to a really large appeal court. And the thing about it, that letter was based upon the letter I wrote when the appeal court first denied him too. And I said that here's the definition for what the doctors say my husband's problem, and I pointed it out on the internet where it is. And, but they still denied him. So, it ended up that the last letters from the appeals court involved my letter.
Okay.
My husband called, and the guy says, oh, I just need more information from your last case. You know, the last time. And, is that typical, or is something, do you think something's going on, or?
Brian, there's a secondary function that she could access.
Please, who's commenting, if you would?
Stephen, I'm a former detective. In Nevada, you have the Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline, where if your representative was to file a complaint on your husband's behalf, because that goes under judicial performance. I'll go ahead and use the mic again. Their phone number is 775-687-4017. You're going to want to ask for Steve Chappell, who's the chairman, or David
Solonsky, Esquire. He's the general counsel and executive director, and they're in Carson City, Nevada. They have a form
to
fill out.
What? David what?
David S-A-R-N-O-W-S-K-I.
Okay, and what's going on is wrong, then? What's going to
if the judge is acting in what you consider to be a prejudicial manner, breaking the law. In other words, if his ruling is not based upon the interpretation of law, what he's doing is what would be considered legislating from the bench. If his personal prejudice or bias is involved, you can file a writ of affidavit of prejudice to have him recused and have the case referred to another judge. When I appealed my case, I had to go to a federal judge because the state judge had acted in a prejudicial manner.
So do you think that's what happened here then? That was a prejudicial manner because he used the...
You'll have to get a transcript of trial and have your representative go over the transcript. And if he agrees with you that this was an act of judicial misconduct, you can take the transcript and the complaint form and give it to Steve Chappell, and he'll bite the guy's rear for you.
That's good enough. Well, right now, like I said, he applied for it a second time, and this is now he's being put off, and I have
to... It is completely inappropriate for a judge to refer to someone as a liar, that is slander. He's supposed to charge him with perjury.
He says he exaggerated.
That is also a prejudicial remark, and it is not proper judicial conduct.
Okay.
See, I wasn't an attorney, but as a detective, I used to put bad cops and dirty attorneys in jail. So I wasn't popular in Maryland, so when I retired, I had a lot of enemies, so I had to relocate to Mississippi.
Right. Oh, my God.
And now, because of this interview, they're going to know where you are. But we're certainly glad that you showed up here.
In the state of Mississippi, I have a .44 Magnum that says, my property...
Right on, brother.
In Maryland, they say, ooh, go on.
Yeah, it's a piece of an inmate.
You protect your property.
That's great, great advice. But Mary, a quick comment to finish up your question. One at a time, please, folks.
I'll see you later.
One at a time, please.
And he had a lousy advocate. Lousy advocate. I listened to the CD of the hearing, and I thought, oh my God, this guy did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't even know. I mean, the hearing was split too. I mean, it was right before Christmas, and the guy, the advocate says, oh, I'll give you that information. Then when they came back, the second part of the hearing, the guy said, I don't know why we're here. He was all lousy advocate. I decided to go to a disability lawyer myself.
Yeah.
I found one who kind of tricked and stuff, and how to talk, and what would work.
Sure.
He applied down in Reno where his folks live, and he had been thinking about moving down there. And that's where his primary doctor is, who actually diagnosed him with mini strokes. And, he's just freaking out.
He's done really freaking out.
Pleasure talking to him. Somebody coming into the house, and he's terrified. And,
Well, good luck with it. The delays are not uncommon. We have time for one more question, and then that's all we have for today. So who has one more question they want to have addressed? And
Bonnie has a question.
Bonnie?
Bonnie.
Bonnie? Okay, Bonnie.
And the whole time, yes. And I'm living in Florida. I was denied again the second time. I'm ready to go in front of the federal judge. I have to move. I didn't get my SSI of being kicked out of my home. I could afford no more money. I have a 9-year-old son. We're on Medicaid. The question is, I have to go back to Virginia. My husband is working, got a job there, and we have to move into a cheap place and the whole house has wet feet. But we can move there, and my question is, I know I have to transfer everything to Linda, and I heard here in Florida, we're waiting for us to even go in front of President Judge.
So is your, may I ask a few questions so I make sure I understand where you're at, buddy? Is your appeal, this is a federal appeal that's going to go to Falls Church, Virginia, is that right?
I'm not sure because...
Were you denied in front of a judge?
Can't you hear that?
No.
No,
I was hearing SSD and then I was denied my SSI.
Okay. So you have a hearing with the administrative law judge in Florida coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're moving to Virginia.
Yes, I am, the 15th.
Okay.
I helped to move trucks up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need help.
So is your question, do you need to move your case to Virginia?
Yes, you have to do that.
Okay, one moment, Monty. Folks, if you could star six your phones, even if you think you already have, so we could eliminate the background noise. Thank you.
How long is the waiting list in Virginia for the federal judge?
It could. I mean, it varies everywhere. You know, here's a few tips for you to speed up. There's two things that I would suggest is, do you have a representative working with you on the case?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I would ask the representative.
After I talked to you guys, because he was mad.
Yeah. Okay.
Why didn't he file a diary case for me? And he knew I was broke.
Okay.
He knew I had a truck.
Gotcha. Here's the steps for you that I would suggest. Ask your representative if you have to move it, or if you can have that hearing done in Florida, and see what his opinion is. If it's better for you to move it. I don't know if it is or if it isn't, okay, but I would ask him. He's an expert. The second thing is, I think we went through this last time, is that if you are in a situation where I believe you are, and you have, cash flow issues, you're behind on bills, anything that you have a late payment notice on, you can request a dire need for a hearing. And the information is on our website in our mini course. It's a simple process, and your representative actually should have done this already for you. Has this been done?
Recording me now.
What's that?
I told him what you said.
Okay, and?
Avoiding me.
He's avoiding you.
I had
avoiding
you. Yeah, because he knew that after the last conference, I said, why didn't you file that? And then the next thing I knew, it was already SSI. Week coming up.
Yep.
Already denied.
Well, you know what you may want to do then is you may want to really, if he's avoiding you, you may want to think long and hard about finding somebody else to help you out.
Yeah, I thought so too in Virginia when I get up there.
Well, I don't know if it's Virginia or if it's better to keep your case in Florida. So
I can't stay here. I'm being kicked out.
Well, but even still, even though you're not physically in Florida and you're going to be in Virginia, I believe you could still have your case heard in Florida.
Florida. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's what I would suggest, and, you can, again, speak to one of the partners here and go through what some of your options are in the advice and make a decision as to if you can keep your existing representative and get him back on track, or if you're going to have to, pack up your party and move on. Okay? So.
I don't know how long Florida waiting is for the federal judge, but I've been hearing it's a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's a long time anyway.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for my hearing for a long time. So
yeah. Okay. Yes, last comment.
Okay, Brian, if I may, my name is David Gomez. Hello, I just jumped in about 10-15 minutes ago.
Yep.
I'm calling from California.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I was informed by the Social Security Administration upon completion of my application over the internet and over the phone that I was owed 1 year back pay to me. I have been disabled since I've been disabled since January of 04. Is there any way you know, that I can get, you know, have,
do you have back
pay? Yes, my doctor placed me on disability as disabled in January, February of 04. So is there any way that that I can go, you know, get more than just that year that they claim that they owe me?
Well, for me to answer that based on what I know, I don't know the answer, but I'm sure you can find some resources that could help you uncover that. When you went through this, let me make sure I understand, David. You applied and you were approved, right? And
actually, Brian, I am in the 5 month waiting period right now.
5 month waiting period for what?
Yeah, there's a 5 month waiting period before they start paying out.
Right. They, what they're doing is they're the Social Security Administration is searching for all my medical records. They I signed the waiver to the consent forms.
Release your information.
To release all my medical information. So that's what they're going through right now.
Okay. Let me just make sure I understand. Please stay with me on the questions. Have you applied yet?
Myself?
Yes.
Yes, I have. I've applied, and I was told I applied for Social Security Disability and SSI, and the agent, upon completion of the application over the phone, she informed me that she says, okay, looks like from what I'm looking at here on the computer is we owe you 1 year back pay.
Okay, and when did you apply?
I applied... let's see here, in January.
Of
08.
Okay. Okay. So you haven't been approved. You've just applied, right?
Right, yes, sir.
Okay, so, your question is you have a year of back benefits. And the back benefit, you can go back 18 months as a general rule, and you need to prove that you were indeed disabled for that period of time, which is your onset date of disability. So, you know, I guess the question becomes, when was it that you can prove that you could no longer work 5 days a week, 40 hours a week? Was it...
That was over in 04, yes.
Okay, so you can go back... 18 months. Why is it you didn't apply until now?
I had began the process. I began the form about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I was just slow to get everything filled out, and I was in search myself of medical records and dates, making sure my dates were true and correct. So
here's the deal. You won't receive your back benefit check until you get approved. I don't know if that was your question, but it kind of seemed like it was.
You
officially have not been approved yet.
Right. Right, correct. And Brian, I do understand that I may be, you know, that I may be denied as well as many people have been and are denied on a daily basis. But my question was, you know, my doctor had deemed me disabled back in January or February of 04. But you're saying that it only goes back 18 months.
You should have applied then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So if you were applied then and you got denied and you were still fighting it, you could still go all the way back. And possibly go all the way back and pick that up. But the fact that you haven't applied until now, you're still subject to the standard rules that, you know, what they told you you could get is most likely all that you can get for back benefits.
Right.
Yeah. So, listen, folks, I'm sorry to cut everybody short. This has been a wonderful experience, but I am out of time and do have to go. So here's just to wrap up. First of all, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank all of you that contributed. you know, the experts that came on today and offered their insight. We do this once a month now. It's the first Wednesday of every month, so mark your calendar, adjust your medical appointments, tell your friends, and come on back for next week and or next month and do that. So this has been recorded, and we're going to circulate it with a transcript. So if you didn't catch all of it or want to revisit it or grab some of the resources, just check your inbox. It'll be out in timely fashion. So again, thank you, everybody. It's been a wonderful experience. I always learn things when I come on by here, so I do appreciate your time. Great day to all.
Thanks, Brian.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
God bless, everybody.